Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you so much, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show right here on WTTY Blog Talk Radio. I can't even say it. And it's beautiful outside. It is still light. And I'm going to say this again. I've said this a few times over the last few shows. Daylight saving time is awesome. I don't know why some people complain about it. It is awesome. I mean, I'm in my studio and I'm looking out on the avenue here and it's bright and people are walking by and everybody is waving and everything. And it's just awesome. And it gives new perspective to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And it seems like I'm more giddy and more positive about what's going on. As the, I don't know, I think daylight saving time has something to do with the way you feel inside. You know, I've had a lot of motivational speakers on the show. I've had a lot of life coaches, and I'm still wondering, trying to wonder out what is a life coach. But, you know, I guess it has something to do with families and relationships, bettering yourself and staying positive or something like that. But I do know that daylight saving time is just awesome, folks. It is awesome. you know, there are times a couple of years ago when I was on the show this time, you know, it was dark and gloomy outside, and all of a sudden I'm dark and gloomy kind of. But it brings something out in me, and I'm thinking it brings something out in everybody. You can stay outside a little longer. That's one of the greatest things about it. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. on his show. And I just had a cancellation. One of the guests said she won't be able to do the show tonight. That's fine. That's okay. That's all right with me. Things happen. All right, you can hook me up on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. I'm on LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. You miss a show here, you will miss a lot. And folks, only listen to me. You know, only listen to me. So by the guest cancellation, I'm assuming that would be only me. But who knows? Who knows might call into the show? You know, who knows? So stay tuned for that. And like I said before, in a million other shows, some guests, you book them, and some of them ask to be on the show, and all of a sudden, at the last minute, they decide to cancel for whatever reason, you know. So that's the life of a talk show host. That's the life of a TV host. You know, people cancel. Things happen. I had one guest who said she couldn't do the show because she was in a car accident. Okay, I mean, people come up with all kinds of excuses, I know, but who's to say what's not true and what is true? So let's move right along. Who knows who could call into the show today? 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and thanks, everybody, for being here. Thanks for your feedback. Thanks for reading my books and stories that are posted on Amazon.com. You can always find that stuff. Some of it's free, some of it's low cost, some of it's not low cost, not really low cost, but it's good stuff. It's good stuff. I've been getting emails on trying to on websites who want to try to get me to enter some of my short stories into contests. I might look into that. I mean, nobody would send me anything like that if they didn't think my stuff was good. Okay. And I love writing. I'm working on something right now. I'm working on something always because I think writing, like I said in one of my stories, writing is therapeutic. I mean, it brings you out of your depression. It brings you out of your, if you might be feeling inferior or down or depressed or worthless or just unhappiness, writing is good for those things. I think it's, matter of fact, I don't think I know. I know it's good for depression. So if you want to be a writer, I'm gonna have a clip on the show, 10 tips to sell ebooks and a lot of things about writing if you are into that kind of a thing. Okay, so that maybe that'll fill the hole for the guests who decided to cancel at the last minute. All right, fun and games and more on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hopefully, fun and games. All right. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Stay with me, folks. We have no commercials on this show, so just short. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Get this thing started. Obama has picked, as you probably know and have heard, Obama has picked the nominee for the Supreme Court, the highest court of the land. He's picked a nominee. The guy's name is Merrick Garland, and he has roots right here in Chicago. Obviously, he's I mean, Obama's all over the news with this guy, with this Supreme Court pick because of the death of Scalia. And the Republicans are standing dead fast. They said, you ain't going to pick nobody. We're not going to vote and have a vote and talk about nothing. There's nothing going to be done about this. Okay, McConnell defiant. No hearings. He said he will have no hearings on Obama's choice. GOP Senator Hatch days ago. A fine man, but nope. This is quotes. Senators hint they are considered a nominee, but they will not have any hearings. Polls, Americans want a fair hearing. Americans want a hearing, but the GOP doesn't want a hearing. Now, who do you think these people represent? The American people or themselves or their own party? Basically themselves and their own party. The hell with the American people. The American people want Obama to want this guy to have a seat on the Supreme Court, but the Republicans don't. They give a lame-ass excuse that since Obama is a lame duck, he shouldn't have the power to do that. It should be up to the next president. That's a lame-ass excuse. That's not right. That should not be there. They're just coming up with anything to deny Obama this last piece of his legacy, if I can say it, of being, this would be historic, and they don't want that. he should be quickly and unanimously confirmed. This guy should be confirmed to the court. But the Republicans don't want that. They're giving these weak-ass excuses. These people, I mean, they have been at odds with Obama for the long time. And this damn Mitch McConnell, this guy ought to go somewhere and retire. He ought to sit his ass down. He looks like he's 90 years old, and he's just as mean as he can be. This guy, Merrick Garland, he would be the oldest justice in 44 years. He's 63 years old. But Obama has a lot, Obama believes in this guy. However, but these backward Republicans, I say things about the Republicans. I don't mean all Republicans. It's just a few who taint the whole party. You know what I'm saying? And that's bad. That's bad. Now, these people are going against the American people. We want Obama to confirm this guy for the seat on the Supreme Court. And my thing is, I haven't researched it yet, but I'm hoping that this guy's a Democrat or a moderate or whatever. You know, I don't want him to be a hardball like Scalia was, you know. But this is awful. This is politics. So we'll see. I mean, Obama has executive power. I think he can place this guy using his executive authority, especially when they're, out on vacations or whatever, vacationing and all of a sorts. I think Obama can do something like that, but Obama never wants to do anything easy. He wants the Republicans in on this, and he knows they're not going to confirm this guy, all because Obama's president, all because he's African American. You know, when I voted for Obama, I thought this guy was going to be a super great president. I know a lot of you out there is going to disagree with me, but I just don't think he's been the president that I wanted him to be, that a lot of us wanted him to be. Even Obama himself admitted that he could not bring people together, and that bothered him. I thought he was going to bring people together. I think Trump is bringing more people together than Obama has ever. And if you ask people out there today, are you better off today than from the first day Obama was in office all the way up to now, 2016, are you better off? That'll be 7 years, 7.5 years, going into 8 years. Are you better off now since Obama's been president? I think a resounding answer would be no. I think a lot of things have gotten worse. Worse race relations. We got people like Donald Trump. But you know what? It is astonishing to me, because most of the calls that I've gotten into the show over the last week have been Donald Trump supporters. And like I told one caller, Donald Trump is a winner. Whether you like him, you hate him, he's a winner. He wins. He wins. And we all like winners. We all want to go with the winners. That's why I say Donald Trump is going to be the nominee. There's no doubt about it. However, Donald Trump is saying things. He's inciting violence again. And, of course, he's going to deny it, but it comes out of his mouth. It comes out of his mouth, and we're going to get to that later. But we're still talking about the Supreme Court. You know, I think this guy, Merrick Garland, who has ties to Illinois, Chicago, should be confirmed. But the Republicans say, hell no, this is not going to happen. They are hell-bent on not doing this. But I think maybe slightly Obama might have a chance of getting this guy confirmed without the Republicans through executive authority. What do you think? 347-857-1762. This is tragic. This is just tragic. I mean, Obama should be able to. I mean, when the last few months that Ronald Reagan was in office, he confirmed. That was a confirmation of a judge to the Supreme Court. They just doing this shit to Obama because Obama's black and Obama's weak. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I think he's weak. You know, because I think if Obama stood up to these guys, you know, they wouldn't be treating him so bad as they're treating him. There's a lot of people out here who are who criticizes Obama. I mean, they criticize him, you know, and some of the criticism is warranted. It is warranted. I mean, when he first, if you think about it, when Obama first was campaigning, the first thing he said he was going to do to get in office was to close Gitmo. Gitmo is still open. It's almost 8 years and it's still open. He's broken a lot of his promises. Of course, Obama's done a lot of good things. He brought the economy back from the brink during the last days of the George W. Bush administration. He brought the economy back, literally brought it back. But I have to agree with a lot of people who are saying, what has Obama done for African Americans, the people who put his ass in office? Not much. Not much. Not from where I can see. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It's great. It's a good feeling. It's wonderful. I feel good. What can I say? I feel positive. And I hope you out there is feeling good, too. I think it's about 50 degrees, 54. We're still having some unusual weather in Chicago. And that is no lie. I mean, technically, by the calendar, this is still winter. But, folks, it feels like spring. And I'm going to say this again. I think we're being set up for the kill. I think we've, you know, because it's raining now. I think we're being set up for the kill. And get out there and enjoy the weather anyway. If it's nice where you are, get out there and enjoy it. Because I have a feeling bad weather, really bad and serious weather, is on its way. Because technically, this is winter. And now I'm the type of guy, I want winter to be winter, summer to be summer, fall to be fall, winter to be winter like it always has been. But there's something going on up there. Some people call it climate change. Some people saying it's El Nino. It's something going on, folks, because the last few years the weather's been totally, totally erratic. Whether it's been too cold, too damn hot, too many tornadoes, you name it. It's just been weird, you know, and scary. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me everywhere. I'm all over the place online, that is. All right, we should be right back if we can. All righty. Right back, folks. Thanks. All right. We're back. And Mitch McConnell says nope to the nominee Obama's pick for the Supreme Court, Merrick Garland. 50 years old with ties from Chicago. Trump riot warning. There goes Trump again. Okay, he is calling for violence at the convention if he doesn't get the nomination. He doesn't want a contested convention. He's calling for his supporters to riot if he doesn't get the nomination. This guy, Trump, and these, of course he's going to deny it. He's always, this one of the things, whether you like Trump or not, he's always denying words that are coming right out of his mouth. He doesn't know how to say, well, you guys taking this out of context, because nobody takes anything out of context. He says, folks, they're going to be rioting. There's going to be people pissed off. It's going to be something happening. He's right there saying if he doesn't get the nomination, and this is all over the internet, all over the news, and all over everywhere, saying that there are going to be riots. Trump warns of riots. GOP con man. Ryan is not interested. They're trying to find somebody to take down Trump. They've been they want to take down Trump, the Republican establishment. They want to take him out. They want to take him down. They don't think he's fit. And that's why Ryan is not wanting to run against Trump. And Trump is saying, hey, you guys keep screwing with me. I'm going to have my people go out here and tear this damn town up. That's awful. That's awful. He's continuing. Donald J. Trump, continuing to incite violence, are continuing to gravitate towards him. The more he opens his mouth, the more people gravitate towards him. And, you know, I'm thinking, where is America? What is happening to America when they can gravitate and support someone who advocates violence on other people? What's going on? You know, I mean, what's going on? All right. I voted for Barney. He might as well be Barney. I voted for Bernie Sanders yesterday. He lost in Chicago. Hillary Clinton, she's taking it. A lot of us feel that Bernie's got a long road ahead of him if he stays in the race. You know, I mean, he can still pull it out, but he lost everything. I mean, Clinton won every state she had to win. Of course, with Donald Trump, he won every state he had to win. Marco Rubio dropped out, as you probably know. And that's sad. I mean, Bernie had me in his pocket. But you know what? You have to go with the winners. Like I just said, Donald Trump is a winner. Hillary Clinton is a winner. And you want to go with the winners. Anita Alvarez, I mean, she was landslide. She was bitch slapped by Kim Fox for the state's attorney's office. She's gone. I mean, the Laquan McDonald incident just messed her all up. I mean, she just out of there. And I say this, and I'll say this again. If Mary Manuel was running on Super Tuesday, he would have lost. Governor Bruce Rauner was running. He would have lost. All of these people are going to spin that to their own satisfaction, but that's the truth. Ken Duncan. I know you've heard me talk about Ken Duncan on this show, folks. I know you heard. He's a turncoat representative, a Democrat who turned coat and voted over with Rauner, whom a lot of people in the African-American communities look on as the enemy, the devil. So Duncan, with all the money, with all his Republican money, he lost, and that's a good thing. He lost to Giuliana Stratton, who was backed by Obama. Joseph Gonzalez, who was a, from what I've read, money. He took in money from the Republicans. He was a Democrat running against Michael Madigan. He lost badly. This was a referendum on Bruce Rauner, Governor Bruce Rauner. This is telling him that his money is not going to buy any more elections in the state of Illinois. He lost. I mean, they're going around the city and state saying, spinning this and lying about this, but he totally lost. If it had been on another foot, he'd be patting Ken Duncan on the back because he won. He won with his money. But Ken Duncan can take Rauner's money and do whatever he wants to do with it because he is not an elected representative anymore. He's out and good riddance. A turncoat, rat-ass Republican who, I mean, rat-ass Democrat who turned his back on his constituency, the people in his district, his back and voted the other way. I mean, when you're a representative of the people, you can't vote the way you want to vote. You vote the way they want you to vote because they gave you your job. You're working for the people who give you your job. You're not working for the people who did not give you the job. There's no doubt about it. Money talks, and a lot of people are just weak, and they go and take money. I think if Ken Duncan had have won this, if he had won his seat back, if he had retained his seat yesterday, I think he would have still been indicted on criminal charges for trying to or did buy the election. Because like I said before in another show, this guy was giving out $50 bills, crisp $50 bills for in his district. And somehow that tells me that's against the law. So if he had won yesterday, just if he had won down the line, indicted. But he didn't win. He lost. Still, he may be brought up on charges, and I'm hoping he does. He was a rat-ass Democrat, a turncoat. I mean, he accepted money from Rauner like it was nothing, you know. And he went against Michael Madigan. I'll be talking about that some more later on in the show. But right now, if you're writing a book and you want tips on how to sell those books and how to be a better writer, you've come to the right place, because I'm a writer and I talk about being a writer. You just got through listening to me say that writing is therapeutic. It is. I mean, you don't have to write to publish. You can write to just because it makes you feel good. I mean, it's just great. It's just wonderful. And I want you to listen to the 10 tips how to sell books. I will be right back, folks. We got that clip.
Hey, everybody. This is Lisa Orell, the Promote You Guru. Oh. You can learn more about me by reading my little bio right down there somewhere on my channel page. You'll have to forgive me for the casualness of my attire. No makeup, no hair done, just a ponytail and a visor, because it is a very warm, hot, sunny day here in San Jose, California. And after I'm done with this short how-to video, I am going in the backyard, jumping in the pool, and firing up the barbecue. So that's just the way I'm rolling today. Here we go. 10 tips on how you can sell your book or sell more of your books on Amazon, whether you're a self-published author or whether you're a traditionally published author. Doesn't matter. As long as your book's on Amazon, these tips will help you. Okay. Some of these tips I did glean from a great book that I highly recommend, written by Brent Sampson. And there you go. Let me get over here a little bit more. How to sell more books on Amazon. I highly recommend picking that up. The tips I'm going to go through, the 10 tips, are going to be very quickly. I'm not going to give you the ins and outs of the hows and whys. That's why something like Brent's book was created. He gives you all those details. Or you can just research them on your own. But I'm just going to make you aware of a couple of these things so that you can potentially implement them and go for it. And I will tell you that quite a few of these tips I have shared with my author clients who I help handle the PR, publicity, and marketing strategies for, and they have found a definite uptick in their book sales, and I personally, with the books I've written, have seen them as well. So they work. Okay, let's go. Tip number one, start an Amazon Connect account. Again, look into Amazon and check out the Amazon Connect account feature. Number two, definitely create an author profile page. Okay, again, a lot of people just go and put their book on Amazon to sell it, and they don't use the other bells and whistles that Amazon has to offer. Again, one of them being the author profile page. Make sure you set one up for yourself. On your author profile page, make sure that you upload a professional photo, and in the caption under that photo, you can state your name, your title, your book title, links to your website, all that fun stuff, your contact info, as well as set up your email signature for any postings that you do within Amazon, like if you write a book review for someone else, it will show up, and that helps cross-promote you, okay? Tip number four. Complete the About Me info on the author profile page. The reason for that is that you get to load it with a bunch of keywords and phrases that show up in search results, okay? Kind of like having a LinkedIn profile. The more information you put on your profile, the better the chances are that you and your book are going to get found. Number five, Amazon offers a feature called the So You'd Like To Guides. Again, they're called the So You'd Like To Guides. They're like little mini ebooks. You can write those on basic topics in and around your expertise and your book. They will help drive traffic to your book page on Amazon. Number six, make sure that you implement the Search Inside feature that Amazon offers. That enables people to look at your table of contents, perhaps read your intro, and maybe even see a sample of of one of your chapters. So make sure that you implement the Search Inside feature. It's a very, very powerful tool. Okay. Number seven, I want you to check out Amapedia. It's like Wikipedia, but it's Amapedia, and that is Amazon's internal wiki. So you can start your own posts and topics about things around your book and topics of your area of expertise and show up in the Amapedia, A-M-A-P-E-D-I-A, right? Again, like Wikipedia, and that will help drive traffic to your book page as well, okay? Tip number eight is write as many book reviews for other people as you can, and especially make sure that you do them for your competitors, anybody who's written a book that's similar to yours. And I'm not saying go on there and trash them and write a bad review, even if their book was great. This is not about going in and sabotaging your competition. It's every time you write a book review for someone, your name, your book title, a link to your book page, and your basically like e-signature will show up with information about you. Keeping in mind one important thing, if someone was interested enough to go to their book page and potentially buy their book, it means they're interested in the same topic matter that you wrote about. So write as many book reviews as you possibly can, and possibly they will turn around and do the same thing for you. It also helps with traffic building, okay? Number nine, use the Tag This Product feature on your book's detail page. Again, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of all this stuff, but make sure you look into the Tag This Product feature, okay? Last one, number 10, look into Amazon's List Mania feature. It's where you can create lists of books that you like, and always including your book in there at some point. I won't go into all the details about it, but again, look into the List Mania feature because it will help drive traffic to your book page and could potentially get a lot more buyers for you, and people will be looking at the books you list, and if you've listed them on your List Mania list, some of them might turn around and list you on their List Mania list, and it keeps going and going and going. So again, those are quick 10 tips on how you can potentially sell more of your books on Amazon. I hope you found them very, very helpful. I know that I have. So time for me to go jump in the pool and fire up the barbecue.
Yes, you are.
Enjoy the rest
helpful.
Of your day, and cheers, and happy marketing. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and welcome back to the show. I was looking at this billboard saying, movies, okay, and I'm looking at this billboard. It says Kevin Costner's new movie, Criminal. I am not that big of a Kevin Costner fan. I think the best movie he has ever done is Dances with Wolves. That is an awesome, classic, epic movie. He was a bit younger then, but I do think that was, from my standpoint, that's best and favorite movies by Kevin Costner, and I've seen quite a few of his movies. And he's cranking them out. Every time I look around, he's got a new movie. And I haven't seen anything by him as of now. I haven't really seen any of his movies. He's been cranking them out. But this Criminal sounds like it might be a great movie. Kevin Costner, I don't know if he's directing or producing, but I do know he's one of the stars. And Gary Coleman is also in it. Tommy Lee Jones, Alice Eve, and Gail Goodart. All right, and it's 15. I'm not promoting his movie now. This is not a commercial, okay? It's just that I just saw this on my computer screen and decided to say something about it because he's been cranking out the movies, and I think he's one of the A-list stars of Hollywood, of course. No doubt. Okay. All right. As I was saying before, Donald Trump warns there would be riots if he isn't the GOP nominee. I wouldn't lead it, but he said he wouldn't lead the riot, but I think bad things would happen. Now, folks, this is clearly inciting a riot, okay? This is clearly inciting people to be violent. As I was saying earlier into the show, the minute you start to like him is the minute you start to also dislike him. You know, it's just awesome. Okay. Although he's leading in the Republican primary race by a wide margin, casino mogul Donald Trump is still far from winning the 1,237 delegates needed to secure the party's uncontested nomination. Trump warned Wednesday morning that there will be widespread unrest if he does not automatically get the nomination as a candidate with the greatest number of delegates. Now, why why is Trump threatening people, you know, with violence? I've said earlier into the show, on one of the shows, I think it was yesterday, I said this guy will not be happy until somebody dies at one of his rallies. And, you know, I said this yesterday, and I've seen some people say the same thing on social media. Okay, here's a quote. I think you would have riots. This is Donald Trump. That ain't me. This is Donald Trump. I think you would have riots, Trump said during an interview with CNN, adding that he represents many, many millions of people, including several first-time voters. Oh, yeah, Trump, if you've seen the video, Trump is bragging about the people who vote for him, who give them his support. I mean, he is a braggart. I mean, he brags about young voters, older voters, independents, Democrats, Republicans. They all come into him, so he better get the nomination or there will be riots. This guy is crazy. Party operatives hoping to stop Donald Trump have looked to the possibility of a brokered convention, which could block his path to becoming the nominee should he win the plurality, if he should win all delegates, put it that way. And Trump said such a scenario would outrage his supporters, who have shown increasing willingness. This is Trump. Can you believe it? Trump said, I'm going to do this again. Trump said a scenario would outrage his supporters, who have shown increasing willingness to use violence against their political distractors. If you disenfranchise those people, you will say, well, I'm sorry, but you're 100 votes short. This is a quote, folks. You're 100 votes short, even though the next one is 500 votes short. I think you sometimes you have a hard time trying to understand Donald Trump. Even I do, even and I'm reading this, okay? I think, quoting, and I think you would have problems like you've never seen before. Man, why doesn't someone arrest this guy for inciting violence? Because he's clearly doing it. And he's clearly has been doing it at every rally he has held, and that is no lie. He is the first presidential candidate with winning on his side, and he thinks he's winning because he's inciting violence. That tells you one thing. That tells you something. If Trump wins the nomination and somehow becomes president of the United States, folks, we're going into war. There's going to be a war. Because that's all he talks about is doing violence to someone. He's not going to compromise with world leaders. There's not going to be any common ground. There's not going to be any negotiating or any of that. Trump's going to come out, hey, let's go over there and kill him. You know, that's Trump. I mean, he talks with he's learning how to talk better. That's no doubt about it. Donald Trump is learning to talk a lot better. You know, he's using bigger words now, okay? But it all comes down to this guy is violent. He likes to see violence. He encourages violence. And he just did it again on national television. Because majority of the time, Donald Trump gets free publicity. If he's Donald Trump, hey, wow, the media is running up behind his ass. He doesn't have to pay millions and millions of dollars to get publicity. It's free because to the media, Donald Trump is the story, and they're going after the story instead of Donald Trump going after them for television time and FaceTime. It's raining in Chicago. It's coming down, folks. And I'm sitting in my studio looking out the window on the Broadway, and it's coming down. It's raining. It's windy. And it's gloomy, and it's getting dark. And it's, like I said before, folks, I think we're in for the kill. But maybe not literally. Hopefully not literally. But it's coming down, folks. It looks like it's snowing and raining. It looks like we're getting a blizzard here. It's coming down harder as I sit here and look out the window from my studio office here, as I sit here bashing Donald Trump for being violent prone. I mean, this guy is violent prone, folks. There's no doubt about it. And no one can call into the show. No one can tell me that he doesn't incite violence. And somehow, the more violence he incites, people gravitate. Damn about his issues. I don't care a damn about his policies or what he's going to do for America, because his only slogan is, I'm going to make America great again. He's inciting violence. He just did it again. And I'm pretty sure you've seen all those damn a montage of clips from his rallies where he's literally inciting violence, asking people to punch each other, hit each other. This is one of the things I do not like about Donald Trump. And he's also a racist, but that's not going to stop his supporters from supporting him. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on LinkedIn. Follow me right here on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we're going to play a montage, a clip of Donald Trump inciting violence. Here we go. We got that clip going? Things are so slow here, folks.
We have to win Missouri. That's what I have to win. If we don't win Missouri, I'll be very angry. We're going to win. I think we're going to do well. I think we're going to do well everywhere. Because you know what's going on? This is a movement, folks. This is a movement. We're tired of the garbage. Yeah, get them out of here. Get them out. Young kids, two young kids. Young spoiled kids. Get them out of here. Tell you this, they are all writing about us, folks, and they're saying there's nothing like a Trump rally, okay? Nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing. And you know, terrible. Terrible. USA. 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 Go home and get a job. Go home, get a job. Get a job. I'll tell you, these are not good people, folks, just so you understand. You know, these are not good people. And I heard this was going to happen, and they said, Mr. Trump, would you like to cancel? I said, absolutely not. These are not good people. These are not the people that made our country great, but we're going to make it great again. But these are not the people. These are the people that are destroying our country. Right, you get them out. Get them out. Come on, let's go. Get them out. How about letting some people in to take their seats? A lot of people standing outside. Let them in. Let some good people in to take their seats. And nobody's being hurt, press. Nobody's being hurt. Very rude. Did they get him out? Did they get him out? Well, where are the police? Come on, police, get him out. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Come on, let's get him out. Troublemakers, just troublemakers. Come on, get him out, police, please. Let's go. Thank you. See, what they don't realize is they really help us realize how important we are and how important it is what we're doing. They actually hurt themselves. They add nothing. They add nothing, believe me. They add nothing. And there'll be a couple of others jump up pretty soon. But we just go through it and let's do it, okay? I was told, I can't believe Missouri. I can't believe this. I can't believe it. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Doesn't matter. Honestly, can I be honest with you? It adds to the flavor. It really does. Makes it more exciting. I mean, isn't this better than listening to a long, boring speech? Right? You can hear that from the other candidates. They don't say anything anyway. You know, part of the problem and part of the reason it takes so long is nobody wants to hurt each other anymore, right? And they're being politically correct the way they take them out. So it takes a little bit longer. And honestly, protesters, they realize it. They realize that there are no consequences to protesting anymore. There used to be consequences. There are none anymore. So that's it. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Are they gone? Yeah, they're gone. Our country has to toughen up, folks. We have to toughen up. These people are bringing us down. Remember that. They're bringing us down. No reason for it. These people are so bad for our country, you have no idea, folks. You have no idea. They contribute nothing, nothing. And look at the police. They take their lives in their hands. All right, yep, get them out. Thank you. Are they out? Are they out? What a detriment. What a detriment. All right. Thank you. Thank you. That right corner is interesting. That's an interesting corner. Okay. Thank you. We better.
All right, folks, that was a montage of Donald Trump and his violence-inducing self. This guy is something else. I want to move right along. I want to talk about Bruce Rauner again, because I live in the state of Illinois, and I love this state. I just hate that it's almost 10 months without a budget, but we did defeat the fake Democrats. Rauner had, or his allies, Rauner's friends, and money that he, you know, was bankrolling in the primaries, you know. And I'm so glad that these people lost, you know, and it's a loss for Rauner. I think it's weakened him. Of course, if you hear him talk, if you hear him talk and you hear his minions, his flunkies, if you hear them talk, it's no such thing. It's no such thing. But we all know that's not true. Sometimes, most of the times, and it should be all the time, where money does not influence elections. Money should not be used to buy rogue turncoat politicians like Ken Duncan. And he's out of there. He's gone. And that's a good thing. And then, like Madigan said, the only reason why Duncan is out of there is because he aligned himself against his constituency with Bruce Rauner. And now the Bruce Rauner camp is saying that's not so. You know, but we know so because Ken Duncan voted against the wishes of his constituency to line his pockets of Rauner money. Well, he may still have some of that Rauner money. He can spend it any way he wants, but he's out of office. He's out of office, and I think criminal charges should be filed against Duncan for trying to literally pay by this election. I think if he hadn't lost the election yesterday, I think he would have been indicted for corruption. But anyway, he's gone, so who cares if he's indicted or not? He's out of there. We don't have to look forward to him to try to vote. This way, we've got Juliana Stratton in there, and maybe we can override some of the things that Rauner has vetoed to try to get this state back on its footing. We have to get it, and let's say if we did get this state back on its footing, some of the programs, some of the agencies will never be the same again. Rauner has ruined this state. Like I've said, Rauner is a failure. He's failed this state. He doesn't know the first thing about governing. He wants to be boss. He wants to be a dictator. He wants to be in charge. He wants to own stuff. He wants to buy the state. He wants to buy Chicago. That is not going to happen as long as there is a Democratic legislature. Someone should tell him that. He is not running the state. This is not Raunersville. This is the state of Illinois. It does not belong to Rauner. And if there was an election today, if there was a gubernatorial election today, he would lose. He would be thrown out on his butt, just like the people threw Ken Duncan out on his butt. Rauner, you are here just like every other damn politician is to serve the people, not yourself, not your cronies, not your allies, not your flunkies. You're here to serve the people of Illinois as every other governor is supposed to do. But there are so many governors around the country, especially in the South, folks. They are wreaking havoc on their states. Voter suppression is the number one thing. They're cutting people off social programs, food stamps, government, no health benefits, regardless of Obamacare or not. These governors are cutting education, just the same as Rauner is doing. They're making themselves rich and making their buddies richer. Rauner wants Illinois so bad, him and his buddies, they want Illinois so bad they could taste it. But they're not going to get it. Rauner said one time he's going to make Illinois, in eight years he's going to make Illinois a Republican state. That's not going to happen, Rauner. It's not going to happen. You've been weakened by these losses. No matter how you and your minions spin this. That's the truth. You're going to have to work with the legislature or you will not work with them. That's the bottom line. And hopefully the people of Illinois is going to find some kind of way to recall you. Some people say there is an impossibility of that. I don't know, but we have to look into it. We can't have a governor of this state who is not governing. We can not have a governor of this beautiful state who is not governing and making up excuses for not governing. What Bruce Rauner is doing, he's blaming people. He's blaming Michael Madigan. He's blaming the state legislature. He's blaming everybody but himself. As I've said a million times on this show, he is the head of Illinois. He is the president of Illinois. He is the one. Whatever is wrong with this state, it falls on him, not the legislature. He's the blame. Same go with Obama. If something's going on, if something's not right in Illinois, I mean in the United States of America, the Republicans are looking at Obama. I just don't think Bruce Rauner is going to budge one bit on trying to dig this state out of the mess that he put it in. He's going to continue to blame people. He's going to continue to blame Michael Madigan. He's going to continue to blame John Cullerton and anybody else he can blame for the mess of Illinois. But he's not going to look at him. He should be looking at himself in the mirror. That's where the blame lies. The state of Illinois has never, ever been without a budget until Rauner took office. On his first day in office, he started cutting. He started using his executive powers. And that's what he's going to continue to do because I'm pretty sure he's not going to give in to the legislature. What Rauner wants to do, he wants to bust unions. He wants to take over Chicago public schools. But he has to realize we have to get a budget first. Busting unions is not a part of a budget. Getting rid of collective bargaining is not a part of a budget. Get the budget done, and then you can go and talk, compromise with Michael Madigan and John Cullerton about busting unions. I don't think they're going to agree to that because this is a union town, and people like their unions because unions protect their jobs. Unions have been around a long time, and they're not going to go away because of Bruce Rauner, but you've got so many governors around America who have bust unions and successfully done so. And I just don't understand why people don't rise up and just take their states back, their cities back from these rogue politicians. And I got a feeling that rogue politicians are going to be here a long, long time. I mean, we've had them since the 50s that I recognize. But politicians and politics have gotten so nasty and dirty and down and low. It has gotten all right. Mike Madigan and Rauner disagree on what the election results mean. Of course, Rauner is going to disagree what the election results means, even if it's right in his face. It means that he has lost. That's what it means. Stratton defeats Duncan in 5th District House race. Boy, is that. It's totally refreshing because he was a turncoat, like I was just saying, folks. Okay, well, I'm reading an article here. All right, Stratton included the President of the United States among a list of people who campaigned for Stratton to defeat Ken Duncan. Defeating Ken Duncan is also a defeat for Bruce Rauner, although he's playing it off. That's crazy. How can you do that? But he's trying to save face, folks. That's all that is. That's all that is. He's trying to save face. Okay. she's smiling and grinning, and I mean, she's happy that she defeated that man. She's with her father, and just, I mean, Stratton seems like a great person, a good person, and she'd make a great representative. She's out of District 5, and she really, I mean, she landslided him. She landslided him. Okay, incumbent state rep Ken Duncan on Tuesday paid the price for bucking fellow Democrats on several key votes, falling to newcomer Juliana Stratton in the State House 5th District race in a contest that's shattered campaign spending records. I mean, what they mean is Duncan had a lot of money. He had a lot of Republican money behind him, and he could not pull out this race because people were just so damn fed up with him. And I've said this a million times on the show, money does not win elections. Crowds and crowds of people who are going to the polls to vote, that's what wins elections. Okay, and also she had Barack Obama in a corner. Okay, some people think this is a low-level race, but this was a race to be reckoned with. It went national because Obama got involved, you know, in this. And Obama, and also you can give this win to Obama also. Also. And Ken Duncan, he's out of there. We don't have to worry about him anymore. But let me say something about, I'm going to say something about Stratton. If she fails to toe the line, if she fails to do the right thing that the constituency of her district, of her new district, wants a district belonging to Ken Duncan, if she fails, she will be voted out of there in 2 years. And she knows this. I mean, when she ran, she was her campaign commercials were saying that she's going to vote the way her constituency wants her to vote. She's going to vote with Mike Madigan and the rest of the Democrats to defeat the Republican onslaught of money. Now, if she reneges on that, she will be out in 2 years and she will be sitting right by or right next to Ken Duncan. And that's the truth. And I hope somebody tell her that. Maybe she knows. Maybe she knows. So this is all right. All right. With 80% of the precincts reporting, Stratton led with a 68% to 32%. I mean, she landslided this guy. She landslided this guy. Okay, here's her quote. "I know that President Obama is here in spirit," she said, prompting a surge of cheers from the crowd. With turnout in the 5th district likely to total about 20,000 voters combined, $6 million raised by both candidates among amounts to be about $300 per vote. That's great. That's wonderful. She is the winner. He's out of there. I don't know if he has any upcoming votes or his votes are just null and void. And but she, I think she has to face someone in November 26th. She has another primary in the general election. I think she's going to be facing someone in the general election, but she is a winner. At least he's out of there. That's the most important thing. Ken Duncan is out of there. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right, folks. All right, we're back. There is so much violence in Chicago. It's a shame. It's a shame. So I don't know what we're going to do with this violence. We got to stop it. Sometimes I think the police department isn't up to their game on stopping violence. But we're going to have to do something because violence in Chicago has increased. It's through the roof, folks. And three police officers were shot yesterday. They're going to live. One was shot in the back. I think the other two were shot in the leg and foot or something to that report. But they're alive and well, believe me. But the violence is just through the roof. And Illinois doesn't even have a superintendent. We have an interim superintendent. And my understanding is that Rahm Emanuel doesn't even have anybody that he's probably talking to. We need a superintendent. We need, I'm getting ready to say Republicans. We need the police department to have a strategy, have a plan to decrease or eliminate violence altogether. But I know that's not going to happen. That's a pipe dream. But at least have a plan of lowering violence. If violence is constantly increasing, it tells you the police are not doing their jobs. I mean, you can blame it on parenting. You can blame it on anything you want. But we have police officers that we're paying to protect us, and somehow it's not happening. It's not happening. I'm so afraid of the weekend that's coming up in Chicago because I know it's going to be, you know, bloody. But don't get me wrong. I live in a part of Chicago where there's not much violence going on. But I would never be too cynical to say that violence can happen anywhere to anybody at any time. And it doesn't matter who you are. You know, I mean, we have violence in Chicago. There's violence in Los Angeles. There's violence in Cleveland, Wisconsin. So it can happen to anybody, anywhere, at any time, no matter who you are, black, white, red, yellow. Violence, you know, it doesn't have a face on it. It just happens. And we need the police to step up. We really need the police to step up. A lot of these cities are cutting back on police. They're cutting back on fire. They're cutting back on all kinds of things that citizen needs because of the budget. But sometimes when you cut too much out of the budget and you don't have many police officers responding to calls, you don't have many firefighters responding to calls, urgent calls, you know, it's chaos. It can be chaos, you know. So we have to try to lower the violence in America, but that's going to be kind of hard because we have Donald Trump inciting violence. Don't get me wrong, even if I was a Donald Trump supporter, which I'm not, but if I was, I would still be criticizing him for inciting violence. This is not what America is about. And I'm kind of criticizing Obama because he's not really stepping up and jumping in Donald Trump's ass about inciting violence. This is crazy. This man is inciting violence. And I know he has a million supporters out there. I know he has a million endorsements. But that's not right to tell his supporters to go beat up on people and that he's going to pay the legal fees. You know, and I just played a montage of his violent asking people to do violence or doing violence himself, or he's going to pay for it. And recently, and I just told you back in this show, earlier in this show, he says if he doesn't get the nomination at the convention, he's advocating there's going to be riots. People are going to not like it. And it's all over the national news that he's going, as I speak today, tonight rather, this evening or whatever. And it's not right. It's just not right for him to go around doing something like that. And if I did support him, and I would probably not support him anymore for this, because a lot of people are supporting Donald Trump. Louis Farrakhan, to my surprise. You know, and Sarah Palin. I just love Sarah Palin, don't you? I mean, she is just so animated. She knows a lot of people don't like her. She knows she's an ass, but she likes the spotlight. She loves the spotlight. I bet you John McCain is so embarrassed. I mean, Trump criticized John McCain over his service in the military, over his capture. And John McCain is the one who somehow gotten Sarah Palin out of obscurity in Alaska. So by, if you think about it, by Sarah Palin endorsing endorsing Trump, Donald Trump, she's turning her back on the person who brought her up out of obscurity, who gave her a name. Because remember in 2008, John McCain was running for president, and Sarah Palin was his running mate for vice president. She's turned her back on it. I mean, that's one of the things about Sarah Palin. She's not your friend, boy. She's going where the cameras are. She's going where the crowds are. She don't give a damn about John McCain. Well, John, thank you for discovering me, but I got to go. You know, I'm going with Trump. I'm going with Donald Trump. He's got the money. He's got the crowd. He's going to be president. He's going to have a place for me in his cabinet. I got to go. She is some. I used to hate to see her sometimes. I mean, I used to wish she would go away, because a lot of people called her stupid and dumb and ignorant. There was even a movie made about her called Game Change. I have it here. But Sarah Palin is not going to go away. She's here to stay. Even by Donald Trump endorsing her, I mean, she endorsing him, I thought his popularity would drop. You know, because a lot of people just didn't. I've heard people say that his popularity is going to drop because of the Sarah Palin endorsement, but somehow he's winning like hell with her endorsement, and she's going with him. Wherever there's cameras, wherever there's a microphone, wherever there's a stage and there's lots of people, and there's a television camera, you will find Sarah Palin. She's there with her stupidity and all. With her stupidity and all. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're just about off the air. Let's see what. All righty, we should be right back, folks. Stay with me. Was deserted. Okay, folks, we're back. Duncan was deserted by, we're talking about Ken Duncan now. Duncan was deserted by fellow Democrats after twice withholding votes that would have handed Republican Governor Bruce Rauner of Illinois in the protracted struggle over the state budget and Rauner's anti-union turnaround agenda. This is what Rauner's want. He wants to turn around the unions. He wants to get rid of them. He feels that Rahm Emanuel is afraid to attack the unions, so he's going to walk up and be big, bad, and bold. He's going to take on the unions. He's not going to touch one hair on a union member or the union organization, you know, because this is a Democratic town. And I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. I run as a Democrat. I try to see which side. I listen to both sides of the aisle and make my decision from there. Sometimes I'm wrong. I have to admit that. I think I voted for about three or four people yesterday. I mean, during the early voting, and majority of them, I lost, you know, and that happens. That happens, you know. So you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It is raining outside, and earlier I was saying it was storming because I have a window right in front of me, folks. So this is why I'm always talking about the weather, because, you know, I'm seeing it right out in front of me. And it's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful day. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. I'm on Amazon. Check out my books, my writings, published writings on Amazon. That is some good stuff, folks. Check it out. It is there for your reading pleasure on Amazon.com. All righty. We got that clip. Okay.
Come on, be active and open our eyes.
All right, folks. All right, folks, in the city of Chicago, one of the things that's going on, big tobacco takes a hit. City Council bolsters its anti-smoking efforts. Obviously, they have banned chewing tobacco, even at sports arenas. They have, I think they've raised the age, smoking age, to 21, the city council in the city of Chicago. But that's a good thing. That's for kids, to keep kids from getting addicted to tobacco and nicotine. Because I smoked it one time, and it is so addictive. I mean, I think I started smoking when I was probably 15 or 16 years old. Yeah, I remember smoking. I was drinking beer. I was a rogue teenager, folks. I mean, I was smoking. When I think about it, I was smoking. I was drinking beer. I was probably hitting on some whiskey or something. I mean, basically, I was a good kid. I think I just hung around with the wrong people. But I was a kid. I was enjoying myself. You live, you learn, you grow, I've always knew that I've had talent. For some reason, I always knew it. I just needed a venue to be able to use and produce that talent. And I think I just found it. I love radio, and I love my audience. I love your feedback. I love everything about doing a live radio show and about knowing that this show is not only live, it's international. I mean, I get calls from all over the world, people. I get feedback from all over the world, and it's wonderful. And it's wonderful. Someone just whispered in my ear, 90 seconds to go, and that's great. It's wonderful. I love doing the show, and I hope you join me tomorrow and every day that I'm on the show. I'm on from Monday through Thursday, 6 to 7:30, sometimes 6 to 8. And we do have wonderful guests on the show when they show up. Sometimes they don't show up for whatever reason. But there's always guests on the show. If a guest doesn't show up, it doesn't mean that I won't have other guests in the future. So never doubt me. There's always going to be wonderful guests on the show. If not, then we just have to make some changes. Anyway, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got 43 seconds left in the show. Let's see, a smart quiz. We're going to start doing smart quiz questions, and we're going to do that again. We've done that in the past. We're going to bring that back, folks, because I think it works. All right. Thanks for joining me, folks. Remember to check out my books and everything on Amazon.com. I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.